Well, welcome back to Culture Makers. Today we talk, should Christians watch rated R movies?
Come on.
Can Christians disagree with dignity? I'm your host, Vince Parker, my man, James Meehan. How you doing?
Better now that Vince is back.
Okay, then. I see you. Hey, next week, I got this new intro I want to try out.
Can't wait. Stick around. Next week, new intro.
New intro. So how you been?
Really good, man. Really good.
A little bit happened this week. I'm not going to say a lot. Let's just say a little bit happened. I was gone last week. Ariana was here. Y'all crushed it.
Come on, bro.
Y'all talked about Enneagram. I was down reading the comments, and I was like, there's some disagreements in there.
Come on.
Some people who felt differently. And I thought, today, let's talk about that in like a broader subject. Let's talk about this. How do Christians disagree? Can Christians even disagree? Like, are you friends if you disagree with another Christian? Do you have to stop being a Christian if you disagree with them? Like, how does all this work, James? Like, break it down.
Yeah, great question. Can Christians disagree? No. If somebody disagrees with you, cut them out. Cancel them.
Oh, wow.
No, all jokes aside, I think that this is one of the things that is so important for us to be able to recognize is that we can disagree without creating division, right?
Okay.
We can disagree while still honoring the dignity of the other person. And I think there are times where, as Christians, we can be so convinced that our understanding of what's good and true is right, that we don't create any space for other people to disagree with us because we can interpret that as, oh, if you're disagreeing with me, then you must be disagreeing with what I believe the Bible says.
Oh, that's a good way to
And I think this is the part where it can get really, really tricky because all of us that consider ourselves Christians, hopefully, are trying to build our lives around what Scripture reveals as truth. The problem is that none of us have a fully objective view of Scripture. All of us bring our own perspectives and biases to what we read in the Bible.
So none of us are Jesus.
Oh, shoot. None of us are Jesus. Come on. Tweet that. Do people tweet?
Yes, they do. Still
okay, cool. Good. But I think that's the important thing to remember is that there will be times where we can disagree with somebody about things that feel really important to us. But we have to always remember is that our relationship with the other individual is so much more important than how we are choosing to define what we think is right or wrong. Because if we put what's right over caring for the individual, then I think we're actually missing it. Because Jesus didn't say, hey, the world's gonna know who you are by how right you are, by how well you argue, by all the people you show what's what. Jesus said, the world will know who we are as followers of him by the way that we love. And so when I think about disagreeing with others, I wanna always do the best I can to put the individual ahead of my own ideas. I want to do the best that I can to serve that person rather than win a conversation. Now, of course, there are going to be things that are important that we do want to do the best we can to get right. But in the process, if I push people aside, if I tear people down, or if I cut people out, then I think we're missing it a little bit.
We all don't have the same interpretation of the Bible because there's some personal perspective that we add to it that you said. What do you think leads to some of these disagreements? What do you think leads to some of these arguments where people steadfast and you get the division?
Yeah, I think it comes to this idea that sometimes we can forget that in order for something to be true, it has to be loving.
Okay.
And here's what I mean by that. We believe that the foundation of reality is Jesus. It is the God revealed through Christ. It is the God who is defined as love. And for something to be true, it means that it's consistent with reality. And so if what we're saying the foundation of reality is a loving God, then in order for it to be true, it has to be consistent with that. So here's what that means. That means there are times where we can say things that might be true factually, but we deliver them in a way that is not loving. Now that thing is no longer consistent with reality. It's no longer true. So in order for it to be true, it has to be loving. In order for it to be loving, it also has to be true. It's this really, really difficult tension to live inside of, which says, hey, I'm going to refuse to say anything that is not true. And I'm going to make sure that anytime I say what's true, I'm going to do it in a way that's loving.
Okay.
Because anything short of that is less than what's actually true.
Okay. Now let's kind of move on to a topic that might have some controversy to it.
Okay? Come on, my favorite kind.
When I was growing up, this was a straight, clear answer, straight, clear thing.
Yep.
So last night, the Oscars were on, or probably 2 days ago when this first airs, depending on when you watched it. And all the movies that won top prizes, right? All the best supporting actor, best supporting actress, best actor, top movie, rated R.
Come on.
So growing up, like, you did not watch rated R movies.
Yeah.
Like, it was just, oh, you believe in Jesus? Oh, you can't watch rated R movies.
Interesting.
Right? But that just shows you how old I am.
Yeah.
But not really that old. So, can Christians watch rated R movies?
Can they?
Should they? Should they? Let's go with should
that's
they.
A better question.
Our questions are always should they.
And I think that's an important distinction. Can they? Yes. Should they? I think it depends.
Okay.
Right? So first of all, here's the deal. If you're not old enough to watch a rated R movie and you're sneaking behind your parents' back to watch a rated R movie, probably would avoid that. Because that's what good. We want to do is we want to honor our parents, right? And if you're living in a house where there's a rule that says, hey, don't watch rated R movies, don't lie to me as your mom or your dad, then dude, don't do that. That's messed up. And so then if your parents are okay with you watching those movies, then I think that's a different conversation where you start asking it, okay, should I? And I think it depends on, okay, where is that movie going to lead you towards? Is it going to lead you towards thoughts of lust, thoughts of demeaning other people? Is the violence, the gore going to desensitize you to the pain that people in our world experience? And if it's going to move you away from who God's created you to be, then I would probably avoid watching that. Now, I think that there are times where you can probably watch some of these movies and do it with wisdom and discernment so that it's not moving you away from becoming the person that God's created you to be. And I think if that's the case, then I don't really think it's a huge problem. But again, the stipulations are, hey, like, are your parents cool with it? And then is this moving you closer to Jesus or further from him?
I like that. Did you watch the Oscars last night?
Nope.
Have you seen the movie that won Best Picture?
Not a chance.
No Man's Land.
Haven't, no. Is it, was it good?
I haven't seen it.
Oh.
You've seen one of them, though. You saw the movie that's Best Animated Feature.
Oh, which one was it?
Soul.
Oh, come on. Yeah, I did. I saw that. Yes, please. Dude, I'm sophisticated.
Well done. And I saw the movie that—
Wait, did you see Soul?
I did not see Soul, honestly.
How have you not seen Soul?
I know I had Disney Plus and I haven't seen Soul.
What is your deal? Vince, go watch Soul. I'm talking to the camera right now so they will tell you to go watch it.
In the comments, should I go watch
Soul? You just don't like Jamie Foxx? You don't think he's a good actor, musician?
I do. I watched his new show on Netflix.
Was that rated R?
No, I don't know what it's rated on Netflix.
I don't either.
Moving on, here's a question.
Oh, I love this.
The Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
Come on!
Have you seen it?
No, I haven't seen it.
Okay.
No, I've definitely seen it. I've seen all six episodes, had a blast watching them. Overall, I think it was good.
Okay. Overall, James thinks it's good.
Yeah.
I would give it a good plus.
Oh, this is a very interesting rating
great.
System.
It's not great.
Right.
Good plus.
It could have been great, though.
Could have been great.
Give me three more episodes to flesh out some of the characters. There was so much going on in a six-episode season.
Right.
That, to me, it felt like there were times where they were trying to throw in more things to set up phase four of the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
That's good.
Rather than focusing on the story of Sam and Bucky, which I think was the heart of the show. And man, those moments where you had Sam and Bucky's character development, these where they're like working through their different struggles and whatnot, try not to say any spoilers, were just fantastic.
I'm gonna take all that and then add on, I'm gonna need a little bit more action too.
Bro, there is so much action.
And I just need a little bit more action.
Yeah, look, I'm okay with that. But now the real question.
Okay.
Can I be the Bucky to your Sam?
All day. Let's go. Comment below. Let us know. How do you like to watch your streaming TV shows that release one episode at a time? Is that one episode when it comes out? Or is it wait 6 weeks, 8 weeks, and then binge watch them? Are you a binge watcher like that?
No. For WandaVision and Falcon and Winter Soldier, I watched the episodes. When Netflix or wherever, where they drop a whole season all at once.
Right.
Oh, I binge watch that. Absolutely.
Just knock it all out.
Yep.
Come on. It's like there's 8 hours you ain't getting back.
Right. It's like running a marathon. You don't break it up. You sprint the whole thing.
Because it's there. So we got some questions from our viewers. First up is Annie Nelly. She's got a couple questions. She says, this is one.
Okay.
How do I become spiritually hungry for God? Is it like a mindset or something?
That's a great question. I think as human beings, all of us are hungry for the presence of God. The problem is very few of us realize that we're hungry for that.
Okay, so are we like substituting for something else?
100%. We live in a world today where there are so many different ways that we can fill our attention that we can sometimes numb ourselves to what it is we really need. And I think the thing that's super tragic and became very apparent over the course of this last year is just how empty so many people really feel.
It's
right?
True.
Of course, across the lockdowns, pandemic over this last year, the levels of mental health struggles like were rising through the roof because there were so many people who were locked in their homes where all they had was internet, technology, Netflix, whatever. Mm-hmm. and the need for real connection, for real meaning, real fulfillment wasn't being met because they were just stuck with what's right in front of them.
Gotcha.
And I think for so many of us, as we're going through life, we can feel these needs to be valued, to be appreciated, to be known, to be seen. And we try to meet those needs with a Netflix show, with social media, with, you know, meeting that guy or getting that girl's number or whatever that looks like. And the real hunger we're trying to fill is one that only a relationship with God can fill. And so if we're trying to feel the hunger for God and develop that in us, I think one of the most important things that we can do is practice the discipline of fasting, which is this idea that we give up some things so that we can make space for God. Because if we spend our entire lives numbing our hunger for God with the things of this world, then I don't think we'll arrive at the place where we realize, oh, the thing that I've been waiting for this entire time is the presence of God. And so what would it look like for you to maybe just fast from whatever thing is taking up your time and your attention? And in that space you create, fill it with reading your Bible, fill it with being at church, fill it with surrounding yourself with other godly people, because I think it's in those environments where we create space for God, where he's gonna fill that space. And through that process, we're gonna develop more and more of a hunger for his presence.
That kind of leads and sets up for her next question.
Ooh,
she says, when I'm in a spiritual battle, I tend to isolate myself from people. She tends not to speak to people about how she's feeling and what she's going through. Her question is it okay to just talk to God about it and move on? Or should she talk to other people about it? Also, she says that finds it hard for someone that she can really trust, if that makes sense. That makes sense?
Yeah, it totally makes sense. Yeah, I mean, my first thought to that is I think absolutely bringing those things to God first is a great response. But I don't think we should stop there, right? There's this idea that when we bring our struggles to God, he's gonna meet us where we are. But when we surround ourselves with other people, that's when we're gonna be able to experience the healing and the freedom that God offers. Because most often the way that God works is through people. Like literally the story of the Bible is the story of God choosing to fulfill his plans through his people. Galatians chapter 6 verse 2 says that we are to carry one another's burdens. And in so doing, we will fulfill the law of Christ. If you find yourself in a place where you don't have people that are there to carry that burden for you, then let us help you find those people. This is why we do what we do, right?
Exactly.
We like talking about culture, but even more so, we like helping connect people like you to other believers so that you won't have to go through life alone, because life is so much better together. So in the description down below, you can find a link to Switch Online, which is our weekly church service.
Yep.
That happens throughout the week where you can get connected to other students just like you, so that hopefully you can find some of those relationships that we all really need.
I'm with you, James. My encouragement to be, do not do life alone. We weren't made that way. We weren't designed that way. The enemy will lie to you and tell you you can live in isolation, but God did not call us or design us to do that. So don't do life alone. My next question comes from my new favorite name that's ever coming.
Go on. Okay. Yes.
Are you ready?
Yes.
Their name is Wings Like Eagles.
Oh, okay. Eagles. Bro, that's an old hymn. And he will raise you up on eagle's wings like the falcon.
I see what you did there. So here's the deal. We gotta set up then the question. In religious studies at school, he finds it hard not to get frustrated when they talk about Christianity in a way that depicts it as a very rules-based and not focusing on the main point, the gospel.
Yeah.
With members of his class sometimes being mocking towards what we believe. I know that they don't fully understand it, and I really want to be patient with them and for them to know the truth about Jesus. But do you have any advice on how to get loving correction to them without seeming pushy?
That's a good question right there.
It is. I mean, I can imagine the frustration of just sitting in class every day and you just know with your heart and what you believe, and people have a misguided approach about that, or they kind of make fun of it.
Yeah, especially because it's something that's so important to you.
Right.
So like this is something that's deeply important to you and other people are mocking it. It can be really hard not to take that personally.
Yeah.
Right? Some of what we talked about earlier, this idea of, hey, how do we show people truth in a way that's loving? Because ultimately, that's the only way it's actually going to be true. And the thing that I think about is the reality that our faith is built around the individual of Jesus, who literally, God in human flesh, who lowered himself to the position of a servant, got on his knees and washed the dirty, dusty feet of his disciples, but before being mocked, beaten, and humiliated on the cross.
Yeah.
And so the thing is, because you're feeling that tension, I think that's actually probably a really healthy thing, because what it's helping you understand is, man, this is the perspective that a lot of people have. And I think the best way we correct that perspective is not by telling them they're wrong. It's by showing them how real Jesus is through the way that we love. And I think if you can take that approach of even when they're mocking, even when they're humiliating, even when they're being disrespectful to your faith, that you will show them love, you'll show them honor, you'll show them dignity, you'll show them respect, then you'll be modeling the way of Jesus. Because while he's being mocked, while hanging on a cross, he's praying to his heavenly Father, hey, these people who are murdering me, forgive them because they don't even know what they're doing. Mm. And so when you can respond to mocks by following the example of Jesus and showing love, man, what better way to show people what Christianity is really about?
That's good.
Not easy.
Come on, definitely not easy.
I like that persecution thing. Jesus went through the same thing.
Come on, dude.
Right? The Bible, the scripture tells us that for our faith, we will be mocked, we will be persecuted. And for some of us, that's in the classroom.
Right.
Right? That's people who disagree with us. For those, some of you, that's much worse.
Right, absolutely.
Right? There are those who have lost their lives over their faith.
Absolutely.
Who literally have been outcasted by their families. And so, yeah. No, we are praying for you and we hate the hurt and pain that you go through, but just know that Jesus will persevere you and carry you through this and stay strong in your faith. And thank y'all for hanging out with us, the Culture Makers, James, myself. Remember, like, comment, share, ask your questions below. What should we talk about? What questions do you have? And thank you for tuning in to the Culture Makers. We'll catch you later. Peace.
See y'all.